Rogue 11, check in, please.
Jaina jumped in her cockpit seat when she realized the comm call was for her.
I'm in Rogue Squadron.
Rogue 11, check in. If your comm unit is giving you trouble, raise a hand.
Jaina keyed her microphone. Sorry, 9. Good to go.
Have to be alert out there, Styx. No spacing.
As ordered, 9. Jaina grinned, enjoying the fact that she'd already been given a call sign. She knew it came from the fact that her X-Wing had a control stick, and she carried a lightsaber, which the pilots derided as another stick. Gavin's voice crackled through the comm channel.
All rogues, head out. We're rendezvousing at Point Angel 1.
Jaina could still feel the way her flesh puckered when Colonel Darklighter came to her and offered her a position in Rogue Squadron. Rogue Squadron had been the people who liberated Coruscant from the Empire. While she loved her family and cherished being a Jedi Knight, being asked to join the squadron was something that she'd earned, not something granted to her by her ability with the Force or the reputations of her parents. As she reached the rendezvous point, Jaina glanced at her primary sensor screen. A couple of last shuttles were coming up from the planet to board the Ralroost. By stretching out with the Force, Jaina could feel her mother and Danny on board one of them. They left the planet safely. Now we have to get them out of the system safely.
Rogue lead, I have movement on my scanners.
Rogue 4's voice dominated the channel for a moment.
At 271 Mark 30.
Jaina ruddered her fighter around in that direction and felt a chill run down her spine.
By all that makes the hut ugly.
A Yuuzhan Vong warship drifted slowly down from the asteroid belt, with little coral skippers buzzing around it like flies on carrion. The ship would have matched an Imperial Star Destroyer in length, but being something of an ovoid shape, certainly massed a great deal more. The big ship's aft end came up, allowing it to point its dorsal spines forward. Golden light blossomed at their tips, then boiling gold balls of plasma shot out, arcing out toward the ships in the convoy. Combat traffic controllers on the Ralroost started feeding attack orders, and after what seemed like an eternity, but really was all too soon, Gavin's voice broke through the low-level chatter on the comm channels.
Ropes, we have been given the target designated Brock 1. Do as much damage as you can. Everyone, look out for everyone else.
Jaina's R5 droid splashed the target on her primary monitor.
Emperor's black bones. We're going after the warship.
As ordered, lead. Jaina smiled and jammed the throttle forward. Without conscious thought, just feeling her way through the maneuvers, Jaina inverted her X-Wing and dived in toward the Yuuzhan Vong ship. As her ship streaked over the warship's surface, she started firing through plasma streams. The Dovin Basals were forced to project voids into those streams to pick off her shots. They absorbed laser bolts as well as plasma shots. This not only tired the Dovin Basals, but put them in the odd position of providing cover for Jaina's fighter. Jaina began to grin as she watched the cruiser Ralroost get closer and closer to the point where it would begin its run to hyperspace.
We're doing okay.
Then something shook her ship. Her secondary monitor showed a gravitic anomaly in the system, well beyond that which any of the coral skippers could have generated. Her heart immediately sank. The Yuuzhan Vong warship had shifted its Dovin Basals away from driving the ship, and instead had them create a narrow gravity well that blocked the Ralroost and a half dozen other ships from entering hyperspace along the route to Agamar.
I'll just have to find another route out.
Just as that thought materialized, her astromech whistled to acknowledge receipt of new navigational data. She glanced at it as Gavin's voice came through the comm channel.
Rogues, our exit vector to Agamar is blocked. You now have our new destination, so head out.
Jaina looked again at her destination, then pointed the fighter toward a distant star and began the run.
Tantooine, eh? It'll be good to see Mara again. I hope she's gotten her rest, because if we're followed, I know she's going to need it.
Dr. Pace shook Corin gently awake.
Jens has got something on that beetle you captured in your sand sample.
Thanks. Give me a moment.
Corin slowly sat upright and leaned forward, stretching out aching muscles. The hike back from the lakebed village had been uneventful, and Corin hadn't minded Ganner's silent brooding. It gave him time alone with his own thoughts. In his years with the Corellian Security Force, he'd seen plenty of cruelty.
none of it quite equaled what he saw with the Yuuzhang Vong beating that prisoner to death. What got to Corin about the death was that the poor slave had clearly gone mad because of the growths on him. And the growths were something the Yuuzhang Vong had caused to become part of him. It is as if the Vong want to inflict pain and suffering just to see how long it takes for their slaves to break and run. The problem this idea gave Corin was that he primarily understood slavery in terms of greed. With a slave, one got work with minimal compensation to the worker. Using the slaves as agony engines just made no sense, unless the pain in some way sustained the Yuuzhang Vong, or had some other significance for them. If that is true, this invasion is going to be worse than any war of political or economic gain. Victory for the Vong demands that every sentient creature live in pain. He shivered, then rolled to his feet and descended through the passage to the excavation chamber. In addition to Jens and Dr. Pace, Corin found Ganner and Trista waiting for him. Jens waved a hand at a holograph that showed an image of the beetle. It is excreting a compound that is being laced into the soil. It's what is keeping the slash rats away from that camp, since all the dirt there is, as far as the slash rats are concerned, permeated with stink. The beetles are making synthetic stink? Corin frowned. That's some fairly advanced genetic engineering, isn't it? Jens shook her head. Not really. In this case, some of the bacteria in the beetle's gut produces this stink-like substance. The beetle is also producing a lot of carbon dioxide. The content of carbon dioxide in the valley, based on the air in the sample bottle you filled there, is elevated beyond that of the rest of Bimio. If these beetles are prolific in their reproduction, they could raise the carbon dioxide content of the planet's atmosphere, which would utterly destroy the ecosystem. Corin tugged at his goatee for a moment. Jens, could you create a virus that would infect the bacteria in the beetle to make it produce kill scent instead of stink? If we could get the slash rats to overrun the Yuuzhang Vong camp... Jens' face brightened. Oh, if that's what you want, no problem. Dr. Pace slammed her fist down on the table. Unleashing such viruses could trigger a worldwide calamity that would alter Bimiel forever. Unleashing them will counter the Vong attempt to do exactly that sort of thing. Corin pointed back toward the surface. Trista weighed into the fray. You seem to think, Horn, that we're somehow involved in your fight with the Yuuzhang Vong here. We're just here to study this world. We are just observers. Oh, I understand that attitude perfectly. I question whether or not the Vong will understand it. Corin looked past her to Ganner. Your thoughts? We go back and do what we should have done last night when you stopped me. Ganner's hand dropped to his lightsaber. We stop the Yuuzhang Vong very directly. Corin sighed. Like it or not, we're all right in the middle of a war zone. We might do well to bring everyone in here, tell them what's going on, and let them vote on what we should do. Dr. Pace considered his proposal. Corin purposely shut himself to the mixed emotions pouring off her, and instead stretched his senses out to encompass the whole of the cave complex. If she goes for the vote, gathering up the 20 people here and polling them won't take long. Corin suddenly frowned. Ganner, counting us, how many people are here in the cave complex?
20.
The quick sneer on his face dissolved. But there should be 22 here.
Two people are missing.
Trista shook her head. No one is missing. Vil and Dina just went out to their meteorological station to fix the antenna.
Ganner blinked at her. You let people go outside, let them head away from the base?
Dr. Pace dug for a comlink.
Vil, this is Dr. Pace. Report.
Only static came back through the open channel. Someone will have to find them. Corin forced a weak smile onto his lips. And I think I know where our search will begin. Mara's deteriorating condition had Anakin worried. She was being very brave and very strong, but she was tiring more easily. And he could feel her drawing on the Force more and more to sustain herself. Tuber, which was the name Anakin had given the elder Dantari root trader, clearly had some concerns about Mara.
He kept bringing firewood, but wouldn't accept the last couple of roots Anakin had. While cleaning up after a supper Mara had eaten listlessly, Anakin saw that his supply of firewood wouldn't last through the night, and it struck him as odd that Tuber had not yet appeared. So he headed down the trail to the Dantari encampment. He was still a good 500 meters off when he caught the undercurrent of fear. He worked his way toward the camp and paused in the shadow of a rock. Looking past the boulder, he saw Tuber on his knees, bleeding from cuts across his chest. Standing before Tuber were two tall and lean Yuuzhan Vong warriors, both wearing chitinous armor. One bore a staff that had a flattened end like a spear point. The other had a weapon that looked the same but was flexible and clearly functioned like a whip. The whip wielder held Mara's button in his left hand, waved it under Tuber's nose, then snarled a question at him. Tuber grunted a response. The Yuuzhan Vong's whip cracked, and another wound blossomed on the Dantari's broad chest. A coldness settled in Anakin's stomach. Without a doubt, he knew that the Yuuzhan Vong were asking where Tuber had gotten the button. Clearly, the Dantari couldn't have produced it, suggesting to the Yuuzhan Vong that other people had been here recently. Tuber was refusing to give them the information they wanted. He's in trouble because we are here, because we befriended him. There was no question in Anakin's mind that he had to do something to save the Dantari. For a heartbeat, he almost despaired. Here he was, a 15-year-old Jedi apprentice. Mara had experienced trouble killing one of the Yuuzhan Vong on Belkaden. Size matters not. Despite Mara's having chided him for overusing Yoda's aphorism, Anakin knew it applied now. He took a deep breath, opened himself to the Force, and felt it flood through him in a way it never had before. Anakin touched the stone behind which he crouched and nudged it with a fraction of the Force flowing through him. The 500-kilogram stone ripped itself free of the ground and hurled itself at the Yuuzhan Vong. It caught the staff wielder in his flank. A crunching, crackling sound came from beneath the stone. Then the Yuuzhan Vong's arms and legs beat out a furious but slackening death tattoo. Sprinting forward from behind the boulder, Anakin sailed through a high somersault that landed him behind the other Yuuzhan Vong. He ignited his violet lightsaber and lunged, driving the point into a circular depression on the armor, catching the Yuuzhan Vong just below the left armpit. The glowing purple blade sank in deep. The whip came about and cracked him on the left shoulder, shredding his tunic and cutting him. Anakin knew that the blow would have taken his head off, save that the armor suddenly convulsed and constricted. When the armor slackened, the warrior collapsed. Anakin looked at the fallen Yuuzhan Vong warriors and began to tremble. He knew his victory should have been impossible, but with the Force as his ally, he had succeeded. Anakin looked up and saw Tuber standing over him. Tuber handed him a vincha root, then popped one into his own mouth and began chewing it. The Dantari spat a thick paste of vincha and saliva into his hand and started to smear it on his wounds. Anakin nodded and chewed the root himself. It tasted bitter and puckered his mouth immediately. He almost gagged as he swallowed some of it, but he could feel the pain beginning to ease in his shoulder. He dabbed the paste into the wound, and the pain stopped almost immediately. No wonder they value this root so highly. Tuber pulled Anakin to his feet and began to bellow orders to the others in his band. After a few moments, Tuber, smiling broadly, handed a large bag of vincha roots to Anakin and pointed toward the trail to Anakin and Mara's camp. Anakin understood. In return for having saved Tuber's life, the band was trying to help Anakin heal Mara. Anakin thanked them, and, weary beyond what he thought the effort should have taken out of him, stumbled off along the trail back to his camp. He smiled, because had Mara not insisted he work without the Force, he wouldn't have had the physical strength to make it back to her. Darkness had fallen completely by his return. Mara came awake instantly when he entered her tent, then slumped back on the cot when she realized it was him.
What is it?
The Yuuzhan Vong. They're here. He handed her a vincha root. Here, chew this and let the juice run back down your throat. Local medicine, really good. Mara swiped her hands across her eyes, then looked at him.
You're hurt.
It's nothing, but we have to get out of here. Anakin frowned.
I think the Yuzhang Vong have been here since the start, scouting around. Maybe they're the source of your weakness.
I don't know.
Maybe their presence enhances things under their control, and your disease could be one of those things. You felt a link on Belkaden. Here, it is more subtle, since you aren't in direct contact with the Yuzhang Vong or their things.
Mara nodded. That's a trend I'd like to continue.
She threw back her blanket and swung her legs off the cot. Leia Organa Solo looked over the organized chaos going on around her and wished for more organization and less chaos. The Ral Roost and a handful of freighters had arrived at Dantooine and detected no Yuzhang Vong ships in the system. The freighters had all picked up more people than they had supplies to sustain on a long run in toward the core. Dantooine had been a good jump for getting them free of Debrillion, but the routes back out of Dantooine were few and far between. Leia's comlink trilled. Organa Solo here. Go ahead.
Highness, the last group of refugees is coming down from the Ral Roost. Now would be the time for you to return to the ship, so we can make our run to the core.
Admiral Creefay kept his voice low and even.
I know you thought this discussion closed, but I will have masters to answer to on Coruscant.
And you think they'll want me there, telling them that I'd warned them? Leia shook her head. No thanks, Admiral. I'll remain here with the others. You send us out help, and we'll do just fine.
And if the Vong follow us here?
Abandoning the refugees in that case will be worse. Have a good trip. I'm sure Senator Akla will be of help to you.
He would, if he were coming. He's piloting down my command shuttle, Impervious, with the last group. I'm leaving you two companies of infantry and enough weapons to arm a number of the refugees.
I hope we won't need it.
No more than I do, I think.
Speed to you, Admiral. May the Force be with you.
I'll be back with help soon.
Leia switched off her comlink, then smiled as Gavin Darklighter came walking over with Jaina trailing behind him. Good afternoon, Colonel.
Highness, I've taken the liberty of appointing my newest flight officer as a liaison between the squadrons we've got here and the civilian authorities, which I assume will be you.
Leia nodded and looked around. Admiral Creefay is sending troopers down and lots of weapons. That leaves only one other worry. Gavin frowned.
And that is?
Mara and Anakin are supposed to be here on Dantooine. A sweep of comm frequencies is negative for any activity, and I can't feel them with the Force, either. They are being cut off like this. It's not good, not good at all.
The thunder crack from above had faded just in time for Anakin to catch the whirring buzz of the Yuzhang Vong weapon arcing in at him. He twisted his face to the left and felt the fist-sized disc whirl past him, barely missing his cheek. It made a solid thud as it slammed into the bole of a tree. Repressing a shudder, Anakin turned back and started after his aunt. For 3 days, he and Mara had been running through the mountains and had been pursued from almost the first moment of their flight. They cut across Yuzhang Vong tracks before they reached their ship. So they knew the Jade Saber had been found, and if Yuzhang Vong's hatred for technology remained true, had been reduced to scrap. Throughout the run, they had been miserable. The rain had come on so quickly and poured so hard that Anakin had wondered if somehow the Yuzhang Vong controlled it. The alien invaders who hunted them seemed to take great delight in coursing them and chasing them. The razor bugs constantly flew from the shadows, inflicting little nicks and slices. Anakin's arms and legs burned from cuts and fatigue. His robes, which were leaden with so much rain and mud, seemed more holes than they were cloth. Around a turn, his trail broadened out. Tall stones set like teeth along the edges of the route channeled Anakin toward an overshadowed pathway. Mara sagged against one of the plinths. Sick and exhausted, she still managed to have defiance play in her eyes. She gave him a quick smile. Then her head came up and her eyes focused beyond him. He spun, and behind him were 3 Yuzhang Vong warriors. Something in their wariness as they approached brought it home to him. They are here because of me. I slew 2 of them in my first encounter.
I have disgraced them. Anakin didn't spare a glance over his shoulder. Mara, they want me. It's a matter of honor for them, I think. They may want you, Anakin, but they'll deal with the both of us. He heard her lightsaber hiss behind him. Light your blade. I've got left. No, Mara, run. He felt a cold calm coming over him as he brought his hands together on the hilt of his lightsaber. He knew without any doubt at all that he would not survive a fight with three of the Yuuzhan Vong. The Force had been with him in his first encounter. Just be with me one more time, so Mara can escape. One more time. He thumbed his blade alive. The energy rod glowed with a violet intensity. The centermost warrior began to whirl his amphistaff over his head. All of a sudden, Anakin knew exactly what he had to do to save Mara. Without giving it any conscious thought, he allowed his body to flow through the choreography that came to him through the Force. Pivoting, he lunged at the Yuuzhan Vong on his right. That warrior leapt back, only to slam himself into one of the plinths. As that warrior stumbled to the ground, Anakin dodged to his left, taking a step toward the central warrior. Because his earlier move had exposed his back to the left warrior, that Yuuzhan Vong had driven at him. Anakin reversed his grip on the lightsaber and stabbed it backward past his right hip, impaling the alien warrior on the blade. The Yuuzhan Vong's armor held, preventing him from being opened up, but he did double over from the force of the blow. Anakin rolled into a somersault, then spun to the right and brought his lightsaber around in a waist-high cut that caught the center Yuuzhan Vong across the thighs, dumping him to the clearing floor. Anakin cut to the left to kick the Yuuzhan Vong's amphistaff away, but the weapon coiled and struck at him. Then the Yuuzhan Vong scythed his leg through Anakin's ankles and dropped him to his back. Anakin slashed at the Yuuzhan Vong's legs, but the warrior leapt above the cut, then came down with a foot heavily on Anakin's right wrist. Pain shot through it, and the boy was certain he'd heard something snap. His hand went numb, and his lightsaber flew from his grip. The Yuuzhan Vong towered over him. The warrior's amphistaff stiffened, and he raised it above his head. Muttering words that sounded solemn and thankful, the warrior whipped the amphistaff down in a cut that would cleave Anakin open from crown to navel, if it landed. The snap hiss of Luke Skywalker's green lightsaber interjected itself into the fight. The verdant blade caught the descending amphistaff before it could strike, then slipped up and slashed through the Yuuzhan Vong's armpit. The warrior screamed, then spun away. Off to the left, Jason Solo leapt down from one of the plinths, landing on the Yuuzhan Vong warrior below and driving him face first into the ground. The Jedi slammed the butt end of his lightsaber against the base of the warrior's skull, then darted forward to engage the last Yuuzhan Vong. Jason leapt above a low slash, then sidekicked the warrior in the gut. The Yuuzhan Vong flew back into a plinth, then slid down into a gap between two of them. Jason helped his brother up, while Luke ran to Mara. Anakin used the Force to pull his extinguished lightsaber to him.
Jason, how did you find us?
Jason shrugged and nodded toward Luke. He had a vision, and it led him to Dantooine. We might not have been able to pick the Yuuzhan Vong out with the Force, but plenty of the wildlife here in this forest scattered from them, so we headed for where life wasn't.
Huh, I never thought of that.
Jason tousled his brother's sopping hair. You're just a kid.
Don't give him a hard time, Jason.
Mara leaned heavily on her husband.
If he hadn't been taking care of me, I'd be dead.
Luke nodded solemnly at his youngest nephew. I can't begin to thank you enough.
Sure you can. Take us back to Coruscant.
Can't. But we will get you to your mother. Luke pointed toward the north. Ship's not far from here, but we can't leave Dantooine yet. Leia and some Darillion refugees landed here on the continent to the southeast. As we were coming in system, we saw a big Yuuzhan Vong ship sending troop carriers down. And it seems they found that continent as hospitable as Leia did. Anakin winced.
Out of the firefight, into the carbon freeze.
Luke slowly seated himself on his wife's bunk.
Mara?
I spoke with Anakin, and he said you were getting weaker. She nodded.
I was. Anakin suggested the disease responds to something having to do with Yuuzhan Vong.
You said you felt a connection between the disease and the beetles on Belkaden.
Yes, I did. But that's not why I was getting weaker, though.
Luke frowned. I don't understand.
Neither did I, until the Yuzhong Vong found Anakin and me and we started running.
This disease feels as if it is slowly cutting me off from the Force. Only by drawing the Force to me am I able to combat it. And this is where we made our mistake. The problem is that I've had too much rest.
Mara, you're having a hard time sitting up. You need more rest.
No, I need to get back to who I am and how I interact with the Force.
She snorted a quick laugh.
Luke, I'm a fighter. I want challenges. I crave them. When Anakin and I had to run, I felt exhausted physically, but I was stronger in the Force. I was able to repair some of the damage the disease had done.
Luke frowned.
So you're telling me that no matter how tired you are, letting you fight against the Yuzhong Vong will make you stronger?
As long as I'm fighting, I'm not dying.
He shivered. I'm not sure I like the cure, but I like the disease less.
Since the fate of the missing students had become clear, everyone's mood was charged. Corrin and Ganner had trekked out to the meteorological station and found the place a mess. Four sets of footprints led away from the station. There could be no other conclusion. Vil and Dina had been captured by the Yuzhong Vong warriors. Since their discovery, Corrin and Ganner had reconnoitered the alien village each day. They watched the Vong set up search grids and poke and probe the sand. And Corrin was further convinced that what they wanted resided with the remains and artifacts that Dr. Pace had now packed up in crates. In their scouting missions, Corrin and Ganner had managed to determine a number of things. First, they knew the two students were being held in the large shell. They were not in good shape, but their sense in the Force had not yet begun to diminish. This, everyone took as a good sign. The prisoners, on the other hand, had deteriorated. The Jedi witnessed no more murders, but the number of slaves shrank all the same. The growths became larger, and the pain the slaves were in was all that much more obvious. Corrin had seen only the two warriors, and began to assume there were, in fact, only two of them. He knew that was a dangerous assumption, but he clung to it, because if there were more, there just was no way the rescue mission could succeed. Jaina Solo sat huddled and anonymous in the midst of the pilots gathered for briefing in the main cabin of Senator Akla's shuttle, impervious. Colonel Gavin Darklighter keyed up a holograph of one of the coral skippers. The primary mission of Rogue Squadron will be to engage the skips and keep them from their ground support role. Gavin turned toward the rest of the pilots. You will be given a ground attack mission. We have no idea what, if anything, the Yuzhong Vong have as ground transport. Taking out anything big will be important. Gavin chewed his lower lip for a moment. Look, all of you, this won't even be close to a fair fight. Once we scrape fighter cover off the ground troops, we'll be slaughtering them as fast as we can. Scatter shots from the lasers may only burn paint from a fighter, but they'll broil a warrior in a second. It will not be pretty. What it is, though, is necessary. Gavin nodded toward a viewport that looked out over the refugee camp. It's necessary, because those people out there aren't warriors. Many of them might have blasters, but if they ever have to fire them, it's because we've failed. Safeguarding those people, adults and children alike, is more important than our survival. That doesn't mean that you should be stupid out there, but courage will sometimes demand you be a little less than coldly rational and sensible. He snapped to attention and brought his hand up in a salute. You know your duty. Get sim time, get sac time, and be ready. When they come, we have to stop them. Nothing more, nothing less will do. Night had fallen thick and hard on the Dantooine refugee camp before the first warning was sounded. The troopers Admiral Crefe had sent down to help out with the situation had set up remote sensor pods that picked up the infrared energy the Yuzhong Vong gave off. Once the first alarm came through, two TIE wings went up for a quick recon of the area where the sensors had reported movement. Gavin had watched the TIE wings take off and head south. Situated in his cockpit, he was able to follow them on his primary monitor. 5 to 6 kilometers outside of camp, reddish ground fire reached up toward the fighters. But they were able to avoid it fairly easily and report back what they saw.
Multiple contacts, Command. Ground troops on foot, as well as 2 large vehicles and 12 smaller ones. Gravitic anomalies and plasma cannons on the big ones, plasma cannons on the smaller ones. Air contacts coming on now. We're scooting.
Gavin hit a button on his comm unit. This is Rogue Leader to all rogues. Light them up. The enemy is out there, and we're going to pulverize them. Gavin shunted power to his repulsor lift coils, then nudged the throttle forward. Once he was up and moving, he clicked the switch that locked the S-foils in combat position and ruddered the fighter around to 180 degrees. One flight, on me! Clicks came over the comm channel to acknowledge his command. Catch started painting multiple enemy contacts in the air ahead of them. Looks like they have 2 squadrons of skips up. I have to like the odds and just hope we can make the best of them. The nervous anxiety of the pilots woke Luke first, but the roar of the snub fighters taking off guaranteed to keep him awake. He pulled a tunic on, then looped his lightsaber belt over his shoulder before emerging from his tent. Mara appeared at his side.
Where do you want me?
I want you to find Leia. She's going to be running around herding the non-combatants. I need you to back her. I know you want to be... Mara reached out and touched a finger to his lips.
I trust your judgment.
Luke reached out and pulled Mara into a firm hug.
I love you so much, Mara.
He kissed and held her as if it would be the last time, then reluctantly let her slip from his arms.
May the Force be with you. And you, my love.
She winked at him and backed away toward the center of the camp. He jogged toward the southern perimeter and quickly found Colonel Brilnilim, a Twi'lek in charge of the New Republic troopers, scanning the distance with a pair of macro binoculars. The Twi'lek turned and offered him the vision device.
Perhaps you can see something more than I can.
Luke waved the macro binoculars away. The Yuuzhan Vong are out there, that's obvious. The troops are likely slave forces they want to bear the brunt of the casualties. Where do you want me?
You, I'd like in the southeast. Your nephews off to the southwest.
As ordered, Colonel. Luke turned and found his nephews hanging back a bit. Did you hear?
Yes, sir.
The 2 young Jedi Knights said in unison. Leia started as she felt a hand on her shoulder. She turned quickly and dropped a hand to the blaster she wore on her hip.
Mara, you scared me. Sorry. What are you doing out here?
Leia jerked a thumb toward the camp's northeast perimeter. People have been coming into the center of the camp, but a couple of families from out here have not. I wanted to check on them. I was heading out, and then, I don't know, I got a feeling... Mara nodded, then unclipped her lightsaber from her belt.
You got nothing at all, right?
Mara pointed at one of the tents. Movement was plainly visible in it, but as Leia reached out with the Force, she could sense no life in it.
That's impossible.
Not quite. Mara darted forward, and her blue lightsaber extended itself in a sizzling line. She slashed at the guy lines holding the tent up. It collapsed over 3 figures for a second. Then they clawed their way free of the red fabric. The trio of Yuuzhan Vong warriors stood there for a moment, looking tall, but because of what they wore, hardly like the lean figures others had described. A pale pseudo-flesh covered them, save for the claws that projected through it and where it hung like a hood back off their heads. They had also pulled on clothes. At their feet, revealed by the shredded folds of the tent, Leia saw 3 naked bodies covered in blood. In an instant, she knew what had happened. Some of the Yuuzhan Vong had slipped into the camp and were using Uglith maskers to make themselves appear to be human. The desire to run off and raise an alarm warred with the sight of the 3 warriors turning to face Mara. Huddled in the rocks within sight of the Yuuzhan Vong camp, Corrin glanced over at Jens. The student sat with her knees drawn up, a blocky remote balanced on them. Corrin nodded to her. and she sent the little black ball floating gently down into the cap. She used a strobe to flash the area in front of the shell that housed the two Yuzhong Vong warriors, then started the sphere retreating to the north. The two warriors boiled out of their shells and began to stalk off after the probe, which had disappeared into the dunes. Corin looked at Jens. Keep them occupied. Once we enter the large shell, get Trista up in our freighter. She'll be here in 5 minutes. She laces the area with the Kilsent bombs, picks you up, and gets us out. If we are not out in that time, consider us dead and get going, right? Jens nodded. Good luck. He looked past her to Ganner. Ready? The younger man nodded. He vaulted over a boulder and sprinted toward the big shell, Corin only a couple of steps behind him. Ganner paused inside the large shell's throat. The walls and floors were smooth and varied in color from a dark ivory to a soft pink. They seemed faintly luminescent. The two Jedi moved forward and down a set of steps. A grand chamber opened up as they came round a curve in the stairs. Ganner gasped and took a step back. Corin's eyes narrowed. He looked at the two students and really hoped they were dead. The two of them hung from racks, bound ankle, thigh, and wrist. Their heads remained lower than their feet, and their limbs were locked rigidly. Both men had been stripped of clothing. Crab-like creatures the size of a sabacc deck walked across their backs, pinching them with little claws or digging needle-like appendages into their flesh. Little bloody rivulets striped the men's flesh and colored the floor. Beneath them, something that looked more like a tongue than a slug slowly moved across the floor, cleansing it of the blood. Corin reached out with the force and got a sense of the students. They were in a lot of pain, but their sense within the force was coming through strong and unadulterated. They were not yet dying. Ganner stepped forward and waved a hand in Vil's direction. The pinchers flew off his back and smashed into the wall. Ganner ignited his lightsaber and pulled it back for a blow that would clip one of the rack arms off, partially freeing Vil. Corin caught a spike of pain from Vil and held his hands up. No! Ganner, wait. The pain spiked in him after you cleared off the pinchers. Do the same for Denner. See if the same thing happens. The pinchers on the other student flew off. Pain spiked in Denner. And Corin caught the related tightening of the arm restraints. I thought so. The rack keeps them in a constant level of pain.
Why?
I don't know. Corin stared at Ganner with disbelief.
We're dealing with Vong logic here.
Corin's comlink buzzed.
Jen's here. The Yuzhong Vong are headed back your way. They stopped chasing the probe.
Do something to attract their attention. We need some time.
You won't have much. Trista is inbound.
Sith spawn. Corin's nostrils flared. Ganner raised his lightsaber again.
We cut them free. And if one cut won't do it, the restraints tighten and pop their arms out of their shoulder sockets or tear them clean off.
What do we do?
Corin raked fingers back through his brown hair, then stepped up to Denna and stabbed his stiffened fingers deep into the man's armpit. Through the force, he could feel a jolt of pain running through the man. He also saw the rack's restraints slacken slightly.
That's it.
They're being held in a constant level of pain. If the rack senses too much, it lets the pressure off. Corin smiled grimly. I will just have to make them think they're in a lot of pain to get the rack to release them. Ganner's head came up and he gave Corin a respectful nod.
Not that easy.
Corin began to roll up his left sleeve. It will take some work.
What are you talking about?
Ever broken a limb? Ganner nodded. You remember it hurt, right? But you don't remember how much it hurt. The mind is like that. You forget the really sharp pain, so you will continue going on. Corin sighed. I can project pain into them, but I've got to feel it to get it right.
Corin moved between the two racks and stood facing Vil with Denna behind him.
You face Denna. When the machines slacken fully, you've got to make one cut, get the restraint straps. You do him, I'll do Vil.
Okay.
Now the hard part. Corin extended his left forearm toward Ganner with his hand open and palm up. One of the other force abilities I have is pretty rare. I can, under certain circumstances, absorb a certain amount of energy without much damage to myself. To get the pain I need, I want you to press your lightsaber against my forearm.
Not too hard. I like the limb just fine. Just hold it out and I'll move my arm up into it.
Canner's jaw dropped.
You can't be serious.
You want to save these two or not?
Canner nodded and extended the lightsaber.
Corin could feel the buzz of it against his flesh as he slowly raised his arm. The blade's heat vaporized hairs, filling the area with the stink of singed protein. By reflex, he started to use a Jedi technique to shunt the pain away, but then stopped himself. He concentrated, soaking in the energy of the blade. He looked out through slitted eyelids and saw his flesh reddening, then beginning to blister. Smoke rose from it, and the pain built. Then, as he saw the first hint of charring, he latched onto the Force and poured the torment out and into the students. 1 second, two, three. Corin let the burning sharpness flow through him and into Vale and Denna. They twitched while he trembled. They shrieked while his flesh crackled. His clenched jaw ground his teeth together and he tasted blood. The racks slackened, dropping each student half a meter toward the floor. Corin ignited his lightsaber and severed each strap. Then he dropped to his knees and fell over Vil's prostrate form.
Ganner caught the collar of his robe.
Corin, are you functional?
Yes. He let the worry in Ganner's voice appeal to his own sense of vanity, injecting steel into his spine. He staggered upright, then hugged his left arm to his chest.
How are they?
Out cold. We'll have to drag them.
A sharp hiss and a whip crack cut Ganner off. Corin slowly straightened up and glanced at the stairway. There, two Yuuzhan Vong warriors stood tall and daunting. The lead warrior barked an order at the two Jedi and punctuated it with another whip crack of an amphistaff. Corin forced a bit of a laugh.
Looks like they don't like the dragging idea, Ganner.
With a grim smile, Leia pulled her blaster and pumped two shots into the first of the Yuuzhan Vong. The red bolts hit him shoulder and chest, spinning him about. Thick pus sprayed from the massacre, drenching the second warrior. The third leapt toward Mara, his claws rending the air between them. The second warrior flicked a hand at Leia, even as she brought her blaster to bear on him. Something thin and sharp spun through the air and caught her in the right forearm. Pain shot up to her shoulder, and she lost her grip on the gun. As it fell toward the ground, she stooped to get it with her free hand, then looked up to see her attacker leaping toward her. On her knees, Leia reflexively raised her left arm to fend off the Yuuzhan Vong, but the warrior never reached her. Balfour, her loyal Nogri bodyguard, tackled the Yuuzhan Vong in midair. The two of them hit the ground hard and rolled, with the Vong finally succeeding in throwing the Nogri off him. Balfour arced through the night and bounced once before rolling into the red tangle of tent and corpses. The Vong he'd tackled got up and took a step toward Leia, then faltered. He fell to his knees with the Ooglith masker sloughing off slowly. The hilt of a Nogri dagger protruded from the Yuuzhan Vong's breastbone. And when the Vong fell face forward, Leia caught the glint of the blade's blackening tip stabbing out of the alien warrior's back. Beyond the dead warrior, Mara faced her foe with a fierce expression on her face. The warrior leapt at her, but Mara had already pulled back. His claws flashed through where her head should have been. Mara pivoted and brought her lightsaber around in a stroke that passed through the warrior's belly. The Ooglith masker melted away from the blade's searing touch. Then the warrior's flesh smoked as the blade opened him from hip to hip. Mara ran to Leia.
How badly are you hurt?
She tore the sleeve from her robe and quickly wrapped it around Leia's arm.
We better get that looked at.
Later. There might be more Yuuzhan Vong with the refugees. We have to check.
Leia looked up.
Where's Balfour?
She ran over to the ruins of the tent, then stopped and sank to her knees again.
Emperor's black bones, no.
The Nogri lay on his back, his sightless eyes staring up at the sky. The Yuuzhan Vong's claws had sliced deeply into Balfour's neck and chest. The Nogri, who had been tireless and fearless in his duty, looked smaller in death, more childlike and fearfully innocent. Leia shivered.
If the Yuuzhan Vong
can kill Nogri with their bare hands.
She shook her head and closed Balfour's eyes. This is worse than anything we've faced before, Mara.